fire. Say it with me, everybody. No one stands alone. Amen. It's so good. Good to see you. Are you good? You thought we were going to stand up and worship another song and all that. No. I'm sorry. I've just bust through. I'm just coming up with the word. Is that okay? So good. Well, Shane sends his love. He said on the clip he's in Osaka. He'll be heading to Osaka either today or tomorrow, but he's actually in Townsville today. He's been up there for a conference, speaking at a conference, and he's at their church for New Life Church in Townsville, and he's speaking up there. And so as we're going to pray before we start get into the word, why don't we also pray for him where he is right now? Amen? Father God, we thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place. We thank you, Lord God, for every person here, Lord, as we're gathered around you. Lord, we're gathered in this place, but we're here because we want to gather around you, Lord God. We want to worship you. We want to honor you. We want to give to you, Lord. We want to hear from you. So, Lord, right now, Lord, we open our hearts and our minds to you, Lord God, and to your word. Speak to us today. And, Father, we thank you, Lord, that this exact same thing, Lord God, this gathering of the saints is happening all across the world, Lord God, all across, Lord, many churches, Lord, but we pray especially for our Enjoy locations, Lord, that you would minister life wherever they are, people gather, Lord God, wherever they are, that your presence would be there. But Lord, right now we pray for Shane. Lord, he's in Queensland, he's in Townsville, he's in a church called New Life. And so, Father, we pray that as he's there, Lord God, you would use him, Father, to bring new life, Lord God, to bring salvation, to bring hope, to bring freedom, to bring breakthrough, Lord God. Father, you have drawn him there, brought him there, Lord, had him invited there because you have a purpose for him. So, Lord, we just pray your blessing, your favor, your anointing, Lord, that every other distraction, every other thing would be laid low before the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, and as he speaks today, he's speaking three times, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, that you strengthen him, bless him, Lord, and equip him for, Lord, the day that you have prepared for him, and give him safe traveling mercies when he heads to Osaka. Lord, as we celebrate 1 year for Enjoy in Japan. Lord, we love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. That's it. Actually, why don't we just give it up for God? Just let yourself go. You are mighty. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Because we honor him in this place. Amen? So good, so good, so good, so good. Okay, well, who's loving the Own It series? Wow, I tell you, I don't think we've had a series that we have just received so much feedback, people getting so much out of it. It's just been an amazing inspiration that God has given to us at this point to really grab a hold of everything. Because who knows that when God's got stuff for you, he doesn't want you to drop it. Anyone had something really special that you want to give to your child, but they don't get it and they just kind of like, or you throw them the ball and they like miss it? You know what? God doesn't want us to drop the ball. God doesn't want us to miss a thing that he's got for us. And so he's really, I believe, nailing in the most loving sense. He's been nailing and addressing the things in our hearts and in our lives so that, not because he doesn't love us, but because he actually loves us so much that which is still to come, that which is on its way, that which is right around the corner even now, he doesn't want us to miss it. He wants us to be able to grab a hold of it and receive everything and be a part of everything that he's got planned for us. And so I'm excited for this series. I think, in theory, this is the last message in the Own It series. Who knows? You know, I mean, like, you know, Shane, he's a little spontaneous at times, just a little, you know. But at the moment, so we're going to be speaking about this today. And I'm very excited because I just think God loves to lay things out plain and simple for us. Anyone else glad that he understands? See, I'm just glad. I know that there are many intellects in the room. And I know there are many amazing people who know multiple languages and do all kinds of amazing things and all that. But I am not one of them. So I personally am so grateful for those for the fact that when I am talking with those people, they don't try and talk over the top of me, but they lay it out plain and simple. They're kind to me. And God wants to lay it out kind in a kind fashion. He wants to lay it out plain and simple for us so that we can grab it and run with it, so that we can own it and run with it. You know, who knows Habakkuk 2, verse 2? Many of you would know this as soon as I say it. And it says, and the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. See, I love this thought because right here God is saying, I want you to run with it. I've got a race for you to run. I've got things for you to do. I've got places for you to go. I've got people for you to meet. And I want to take you to somewhere new. But he's saying, you know, we've got to make it plain on tablets. See, when things are plain, we can get it. I can get it. It's not a matter of pondering and wondering when God speaks to us. And in time, hopefully, we'll understand. That's not the idea of it. Instead, it's like red and green traffic lights. Who's grateful that somebody came up with that idea? See, no big words, just red and green. We know what to do. Red light comes up, we know what to do. No long words, no language barriers. Go to other countries. I'm really grateful that when I go to, you know, Japan or something like that, you should see the people traffic on some of their intersections. And it's like, oh my goodness. And you just go, I'm so grateful that even here they have red and green. That across the world there is red and green, because at least I'm not going to get run over. Whether it be by a car or a person, I'm not going to get run over. I'm so grateful for that. Or when you're driving along the freeway or the highway and you see, you know, those signs up. And they have those signs up that go that instead, have you seen some of the written signs and they're like, up ahead there is a this and there is a, you almost got to slow down to read it. It's because you're waiting for the next line. I love them, but I sometimes if there's lots of words on them, it's like, or there's a, you know, I drive into Caroline Springs sometimes and there's this, they have some of those lit up signs. There's a church there, one of our ACC churches, which is awesome. It's called In Church and they're in Caroline Springs and they often have events and the sign is coming up and I'm like, on the 3rd of December there's going to be, I'll have to wait till next time I come into Caroline Springs or I go round the roundabout to try and find out what the next line was. But you know what? They're smart on the freeways and on the roadways. Our government understands us and instead puts up those signs. You know, there's the person digging. It's like, okay, I know what's going on now. I know what's going on. Simple is good. Simple, especially when you're on the run. Especially when you're going to be on the move. You know, it's not wise or safe or even a good move for the people following you. Kindness to the people following you. If you're slowing down to read the words. Anyone see people and they do that when they see an accident on the other side of the road and you're like, why is this side of the road stopping? Why are they so slow? It's because they're all looking. And it's like, just move on. We get what's going on. Let's just move on. You know, but I'm appreciative of the fact that these days God doesn't give us long and difficult instructions that we have to stop and ponder in order to work out. If we did, we'd constantly have to be doing that. We'd have to be slowing down or we'd have to stop just to read it or receive it. You know, that's what was one of the issues of the Old Testament law. See, the Old Testament law, if you read through it, anyone ever gone through sometimes like the book of Numbers and Leviticus and all of those, and it's like line upon line and this dove has to be put this way and has to be facing north. And it, you know what I mean? There's just all these different things and different things that are part of it. And I'm so grateful that God doesn't do that, because with the Old Testament law, that was the problem. That's why there was only the scribes and the teachers of the law even knew what the law was. The average person, the commoner like you and I, didn't even have any idea what it was. And even amongst the teachers of the law, that's why there was the Pharisees and the Sadducees, because there was two factions in amongst the teachers of the law, because one believed that there was a second coming or a resurrection and the other one didn't. Reading from the same things. But God is so good to us these days. He gives us vision declarations like ask. You can't get much simpler than that. Ask suddenly, love first. He gives us these things because he enables us to have something that we can get our heart and our head around. And then yet they're words that encompass and include so much. Because God, when God gives us vision, when he gives us direction, whether it's corporately or individually, he wants us to understand it. And he wants us to own it. Now, we may not see everything. We may not know everything about it. But he wants us to be able to understand it enough to be able to own it. He wants us to receive it. And he wants us to then go ahead and do what's written in most of our locations out, as we have out here, do something. That's the reason those words are up there. It's like when you come out of the house of God, when we come out of the throne room of heaven and God has brought a word to us. He's reminding us as we leave, don't just let this be a head thought. Don't just let this be a nice little memory or a cute message or something that you've written some notes on and you never look back on. But instead, let it be something that you absorb into your being and you actually go and do something with it. Because he doesn't want us to stop and set up a tent and ponder for 30 years, I wonder what the message meant. Let us ponder the vision. Let us just take a moment or 15. You know what I mean? He doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to run with it. He wants us to own it, which is why the message today is entitled, It's Your Vision, Own It. It's your vision, own it. You know the verse that we started by reading in Habakkuk 2, if we continue on, it says, we'll start with verse 2, and it says, and the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets so he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak. I love that. It will not lie. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. You know, this is such an amazing and encouraging verse. It is such an incredible verse that God says, speaks these words to us. Because anyone here in the middle of a season where you're waiting for the fullness of the vision to come to pass, put your hand up if you're in the middle. Okay, look around while all those hands are up and see how many of your brothers and sisters are doing the same thing. Be encouraged. You're not alone. If you are waiting and you're thinking, God, why is this taking so long? Everybody else, because you hear testimonies. Yeah, that's right. And it feels like everybody else is getting their answer to their ask. Everyone else seems to be getting the break. I want to tell you, if you look at all the hands going up, you know that you're not alone. We're in the middle of a season. I'm in the middle of one too. Shane and I are in the middle of seasons as well. It's not just you. But just because we're waiting doesn't mean we can't still own the vision. It doesn't mean we can't still be working the vision and outworking the vision where we are. That's part of the race we're called to run. You know, the meaning of the word patient, because if you look at that final verse in Habakkuk, it says, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. Wait patiently. Anyone hate those words? Don't you? Some words you just wish you could just cross out of the Bible and not have any consequences. Like, you can do that, but there will be consequences. I won't encourage you to do that. But, you know, the meaning of the word patient is this. Bearing provocation, annoyance. Anyone feeling any connection to this? Misfortune, delay, hardship, pain, etc. With fortitude and calm and without complaint, without anger or the like. That's the meaning of the word patient. So when God says to us, wait patiently, now this is, he's talking to the one who's running. Wait patiently. Does that mess with your mind? Wait patiently, run. Wait patiently, run. But you know what? God is talking about the walk of faith. He's talking about the walk of faith that we're all called to. It's actually the place where we're called to run. It's actually in that moment. And it's the perfect ground for developing, guess what, fruits of the Spirit. Fruits of the Holy Spirit, they're the things, they're the signs that we're actually are Christians. That we do follow Jesus is that we've got fruits of the Spirit. But the problem with waiting is that we can often confuse it with the word rest. Rest. And if we do this, we're prone to falling asleep. Asleep in the natural, asleep in the spiritual. I want to tell you, if I'm waiting long enough and I don't have my iPhone to play with, you don't need to put your hands up if you agree with that one. But you know what I mean? Like, you're sitting there these days. I don't think we're as good at waiting as we sometimes think we are, or the generations before used to be, because they didn't have all those distractions. But we're like that. You're waiting. And if you don't have that, your body begins to close down in the natural. I know when I sit, if I'm sitting for a long time, my breathing gets more shallow. Even when I'm with people, sometimes if I'm leaning forward, which is often a problem in my office because I'll sit and I'll be leaning forward talking to somebody or listening to somebody. And because I'm leaning forward, my breath is actually getting more shallow. Each of my breaths are getting more shallow because I'm now like this. So I'm like, just little breaths. And then what happens is less oxygen goes to my brain, and after a while, everything just begins to close down. And we start to yawn and we start to fall asleep. You know what? So as I said, in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. Things seem to slow down, and in the midst of it all, we can lose heart, we can lose energy, we can lose attention and focus, until eventually what happens is we close our eyes and we completely lose sight of the vision. We completely lose the vision. Mark 14 verse 32 to 37 talks a little bit or touches on this, and it's with Jesus with his disciples, and it says, they went to the olive grove called Gethsemane, and Jesus said, sit here while I go and pray. So this is just before he gets crucified. Sit here while I go and pray. And he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he became deeply troubled and distressed. And he told them, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch. In other words, stay awake, wait, keep vigil with me. So stay here and keep watch with me. And he went on a little further and he fell to the ground and he prayed that if it were possible, the awful hour awaiting him might pass him by. Abba, Father, he cried out, everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me, yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Then he returned and found the disciples asleep. He said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Couldn't you watch with me for even 1 hour? You know, this, if you go and read on, if you keep reading, this actually happened 3 times in a row. He comes back to them, he wakes them up, he challenges them, then he walks off and he goes off and he prays and he cries out and they're supposed to be keeping vigil with him and he comes back and finds them asleep. And they're there 3 times. See, what happens is in the waiting, they lost sight of their vision. They lost sight. The problem was they didn't own the vision. See, they thought they were waiting while Jesus went and did something. Anyone ever been in a situation and you're waiting for the fulfillment of a promise or something that you've asked God for or something, and you're there and you're going, God, you just do it. And God goes, yeah, but there's something for you to do while I'm doing this. See, that's what happened is they didn't own their part of the vision. They didn't own the vision themselves. They instead thought, it's all Jesus. We're just sitting and waiting. And so they didn't see that this moment that they were in could actually be part of the outworking of the very vision they were believing for. The promise that God had given to them. They couldn't see their purpose and their part in it, so they fell asleep. They didn't understand that even in the waiting, there was work for them to do. Funnily enough, the verse right before that passage that we read, we started from verse 32. This is verse 31. No, Peter declared emphatically, even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you. And all the others vow the same. We're all agree. We're all in this together. So they just made this statement and Jesus like, okay, cool. Awesome, guys. So just stay here, watch, stay awake for me and wait for me while I pray. Peter, James, and John, yeah, sure. One verse. In fact, this is how it happened. They literally went from the declaration in verse 31, they went to the Mount of Olives where that sleep thing happened. This is what happened. They had the Last Supper. They sang a hymn. They were walking to the Mount of Olives with Jesus as he's telling them and warning them that they're about to betray him. They then emphatically declare, no, 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 never. Great. By the way, can you just sit and wait while I go this? That's actually how it happened. You know, sometimes the break in the Bible and you don't know how much of a gap is in between. But this has made it very clear. When you read this, it actually makes it very clear that right in the middle of the vision that they were believing for, salvation for the whole earth vision, coming to pass, they fell asleep. See, I will fight for you is sometimes easier than I will wait for you. Because in the back of their mind, it's like, I want it all, I want it. Now I can hear Queen, you know what I mean? But the issue isn't always the wait. It's do we own the vision in the wait? Do we own it? Do we own the moment? Ephesians 5 verse 16 and 17 says, make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Understand what the Lord wants you to do. Even in the midst of the wait, there are things for you to do. But sometimes maybe it's not even the weight. Sometimes it's not the weight. Sometimes it's the battle that looks to take us out. See, if we were to jump into the book of Acts, look at Paul the Apostle, look at his life, we'd see that God gave him a vision to preach to the Gentiles. It sounds adventurous. Here he is, a Jewish man. He's all like the best of the best in amongst the Jews. But once he goes along, then suddenly he's being, God's saying, I want you to cut new ground. I want to do something totally radical. I want you to go and preach to the Gentiles, the people that you've always been told to stay away from. Now you've got the good news. I want you to go to them and I want you to do it. I want you to go and preach the gospel to them. And if you read the passage, it talks about it. It says that he's been appointed as God's servant and witness. It talks about how God's going to use him to prophesy. God's going to use him to tell him all these amazing things that God says, I'm going to show you these incredible stuff. All this stuff you've seen of me, I'm going to get you to prophesy and speak to them. And he's sent to the Gentiles, and these are the words, and I haven't got them on the screen, sorry, but it says, open their eyes so they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Then they will receive forgiveness for their sins from their sins and be given a place among God's people. Like, what an incredible thing. What sounds glorious. Like, what a ministry to be given. And then on top of that, he also says, and Paul, don't worry about anyone coming against you. I will rescue you from them all. And so you suddenly imagine them riding around in a papal bubble. You know, like the Pope's car? You just imagine. He's like, God says, I will rescue you. And you're like instantly imagining this, like, this cone of protection all around. It's like no matter where he goes, he's going to do this and God's just going to protect him. But no, God actually didn't say, I'm going to protect you. He said, I'm going to rescue you. It's a different thing. But he was going into this incredible ministry that God had specifically told him to go into. He was owning it, and yet in the middle of it all, stuff still happened. You know, stuff does happen to good people doing the right thing, following the word of God, following the vision of God. Stuff still happens. And the enemy seeks to use it all to close you down. He wants to close you down if he can. He either uses the still moments and the wait, or he throws you into the battle. But whichever way it goes, you see, Paul understood that it didn't matter which way it went, but he had to be true to the vision. But it's interesting because God gave him this vision to preach to the Gentiles. He was faithful to it. Man, he was faithful to it. He gave his life for it. And then we read that what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23 to 29, it says, are they servants of Christ? He's now beginning to share. He's had false apostles come in and he's trying to say, hey, do they do what I've done for you? And he says this, are they servants of Christ? I know I sound like a madman, but I have served far more. I have worked harder, have been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number, and faced death again and again. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, and that's not that sort of stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I went a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty and have often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Then besides all this, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak without my feeling that weakness? Who is led astray and I do not burn with anger? But wasn't he doing what God called him to do? And specifically told him to do. We know that he was. So why do we sometimes think it's fine for him to go through this? And we get shocked when something happens to us. But God, I don't have enough food in the pantry. But God, I need a new outfit. You know how it is. Come on, God. God, I'm struggling to pay this bill. And he's like, it's okay, I will rescue you. But see, rescue and protection are not the same things. Sometimes we want to be protected and God says, no, that's what you do for babies. It's what you do for little children. But once people grow up, they need to grow and they need to be able to step into situations that sometimes you need rescuing from, but protection's not the same thing. And we get shocked sometimes when things happen to us. And in Acts 26 verse 19, Paul, he's there again, he's in chains before King Agrippa, the Roman governor of Judea under Caesar at the time. And he's testifying to him about how he got born again and why he's doing what he's doing. And he says these words, so then King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. In other words, the vision that God gave him for his life, he fully owned it. What's God's vision for your life? Because God's got vision for your life. What's God's vision for your life? What's his vision for your marriage? What's his vision for your family, for your children? What's the vision that he's got for your business or your ministry? What's our corporate vision as a church, and what's your part to play in it as part of the body here in Joy Church? What is your part to play in that? Our vision to be a large strategic Christian church full of life and hope. What's your part to play in that? See, you have a part to play in it. You have a part to play in every one of those. All of those visions that God has got. Now, that doesn't mean like a million different direction visions, because they'll all come together. But the reality is, the enemy wants to come against you. We need to know that. We need to understand it. Because he's going to try and take you out. He will try and tear your marriage, your family, your business, your ministry, your life, as you're just wanting to live in such a way as to reach others for Jesus. He's going to try and tear it apart. And at times he'll do it through full frontal attacks, like we've just read about with Paul. As I said, just remember what he went through when you go through your struggles. All the attacks from the authorities, the bosses, the objectors, and even from false brothers and sisters. That's not even including the ones who aren't false, but just make a mistake. Stuff up, if I can say those words. They just blow it. They just didn't think before they spoke. Or they just didn't do something that maybe they could have done. See, don't be shocked when these things happen to you. This is not the time to pull back from the church when these moments come. This is not the time to pull back. But I thought they were all supposed to be so nice and lovely, and I thought the church was a safe place for myself. Because everyone's supposed to be perfect. Maybe I'm not, but everybody else is supposed to be perfect. It's like, actually, no. We're all people on a journey. Hopefully with our heart in the right place, but we're all on a journey. So may I say to you, do not leave your purse on your seat. Don't leave your phone there and walk out. Because if we're doing our job, we're reaching people who are still early in the journey or maybe not even on the journey. So let's understand that we're in the midst of a place that is a better place than we could be anywhere else. But it is not a perfect place. And God is calling us to move forward, not to pull back. Not to pull back. So sometimes he does it through full frontal attack, and the other time he does it in the lull, where there's no wind in your sails, and he'll try and convince you to lay back and rest a while. Close your eyes and enjoy the sunshine. Just enjoy that lovely lull of the boat on the water. It's just so nice. It's all right. You can have a little rest. You can close your eyes. You can lose the vision for a little while. You know, when you know what you should be doing is getting out those oars, digging them into the water and pulling through. See, when does the wise builder build his house upon the rock? In the middle of the storm, or in the times when everything is just blue skies and sunshine? He builds in the good times. But when he does, if he's willing to build in the good times, if he's willing to work in the wait, if he's willing to keep his eyes on the vision and not get distracted, oh, I could just take a little rest for a while. Because there's nothing happening at the moment. You know what? When it happens, you'll wish you worked when it wasn't happening. But that's how. So when the storms come, we're ready. Now is the time, church, for us to own the vision. Now is the time for us to seek God. If you don't feel like you have a vision, then seek God for a vision. But in the meantime, you are part of this vision, which is to be a large strategic Christian church full of life and hope. So that means in your life, you can go, okay, Lord, I'm gonna work on making build hope in my life. Build life in my life. I want to be full of life, Lord. Full of your life, Lord God. I want to be strategic in what I do. I want to be wise, Lord God. I'm going to get into your word. I'm going to find out what it says about my family, what you want to do, how you use families. Like, just look through the Old Testament and see the lineage. The whole thing is a family album. From Adam through Noah, through Abraham and Moses, it's a family album. God has vision for your family. He has vision for your ministry. He has vision for your business. He has vision for you. And all of that's part of the vision that he has for us. I want to encourage you. You know what? At this point in time when we are still stepping into the early part, I know the year is rushing past, but we're still in the earlier part of this year. Let's decide, if we haven't already, that we're going to own the vision, we're going to own the things that God's got for us, and we're going to step into it. And it doesn't matter if it's the full frontal attack, if we're in the battle or if we're in the wait. Don't lose sight of the vision and decide you're going to grab a hold of it. So if you don't have it, ask God. He'll show you. But in the meantime, don't step back. Hey? Let's step in. Can I pray for you? You know what? The enemy just hates us so much. But God loves us even more. And the enemy comes against us. But God is greater. He will protect us. He will rescue us. He will lift us up and He will take us on. And were this life to end tomorrow, He has eternity for us in His presence. But right now He has work for us to do. And the vision is the map for us to work it out. Father God, we thank You so much for Your goodness, for Your kindness, for the love that You show to us, Lord, that You have saved us. Father, it's just rare and incredible. Lord, our heart, Lord, longs to see others know You. And You long for it even more. So, Father, You have vision and You have planned for our lives that we would outwork this passion, this desire, Father, to see as many possible saved, Lord God, to see Your kingdom come on earth. Lord, to see, Lord, Your house thriving and flourishing and the people in it blessed, Lord God, to be the blessing that You created them to be. So, Father, I pray, Lord God, that we would not let go of the vision, that we would not lose sight of the vision, but, Father, that we would be those who set our eyes upon it, Lord. And even in the midst of the quiet, in the midst of the lull, or in the midst of the battle, Lord God, Father, we make this declaration today, Lord God, that we will not let go of Your vision for our lives, Lord God. We will not put it down, but, Lord God, we will lift it up, and, Lord, we will go from this place and we will do something. So, Father, seal Your vision in our hearts. And for those who are in the place where they're going, I don't know if I have that vision, Lord, I pray, Father, right now that You even now begin to drop something into their hearts, Lord. Father, and as they go from this place, as they ponder it, as they read Your word, Lord God, that You would begin to light things up for them, Lord God, and show them, Father, the next step that You have for them, Father, that they might begin to outwork Your vision for their lives. Lord, we love You. We thank You, Lord, that not one single person goes unseen or unnoticed by You, but Lord God, before we were even born, You saw us and You knit us together in our mother's womb, and You knew all the plans that You have for us, plans for hope and plans for future. We thank You, Father, that we are precious in Your sight, Lord God. You and Your vision, Lord God, are precious in ours, Lord God, and we commit to all that You have for us in both the wait and in the battle to see Your vision come to pass. Lord, we love You and we bless You in Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody said, Amen.